Okay, great.
Yeah. Hey, y'all. Monday morning. Monday Mindset. Coach Steph.
Oh my gosh, we're going to have so much fun with this call this morning. I think Mike is particularly going to enjoy it because we're going to talk about both Columbo and Scooby-Doo. Ooh. So, there you go, I knew it. So this is us getting you as excited about the summit as we are, because the theme for this year's summit is mystery solved. So we're going to solve all sorts of mysteries at the summit at the end of next month. We're going to be enjoying a dinner, a mystery dinner theater evening together. And so I thought it might be fun this morning to talk about which detective are you? Right. I love mysteries. I am a mystery novel junkie. I'm a mystery movie junkie. I can tell you backwards and forwards every Murder, She Wrote episode. Within the first 30 seconds of a Murder, She Wrote, I know which one it was and who did it. Okay. Because I've watched them all a million times. So I thought it would be fun this morning to look at which detective are you, with a specific focus on how do you problem solve, right? Or another way of saying this is, how do you figure things out? Because all of us in everything we do, in every walk of life, whether it's our work, our relationship, our hobbies, we spend a lot of time problem solving, right? Trying to figure things out, trying to solve the mystery of whatever is up in our lives at any given moment. So what I've done is I have selected six of the world's most famous detectives, and we're going to look at how they solve mysteries. How do they problem solve? What's their particular style of problem solving? How do they figure things out? All right. So this is going to be a conversation. If you're in a quiet place and you can be off mute, because I want you to jump in here when you recognize that this particular detective style is your style. And I want you to share how you problem solve and how you figure things out as we go along. And I'm assuming Mike will jump in once we get to Scooby-Doo. So let me get us moving here. All right. So our first detective is Columbo. Y'all familiar with Lieutenant Columbo? Right? I love Lieutenant Columbo because his particular approach is he's bumbling on the outside, but he's brilliant on the inside, right? And we don't know if that's just who he is or if that's a deliberate choice, but it works, because what happens is he's very folksy, he's very disarming, he's very casual to the point of being disheveled. One of my favorite Columbo, this is actually my husband's favorite detective, one of my favorite Columbo episodes is he's investigating a murder, and he goes into a homeless shelter, and the sister in charge of the shelter assumes he's homeless because of how he looks, and she's trying to give him a new coat, you know, feed him a meal, because he's very disheveled. Right? He's very disarming. So notice that he kind of lulls the suspects. And if you remember the Columbos, this is a very different mystery genre, because with Columbo, we know from the first 10 minutes of the movie who did it. Right? Think about that. Most of these mysteries, like we're figuring it out with the detective as we go along. They did an entirely different conceit with the Columbo series. With the Columbo series, we know right away what the answer is. Think about that. We know what the answer is. And so we get to watch Columbo stringing the suspects along, totally disarming them with his bumbling exterior. And then he moves in, usually in the last 15 minutes, with, oh, just one more thing. Remember that line? Just one more thing, he says. So this is a type of problem solving that is very disarming. He's never pushy. I don't want to say he hides his brilliance, but he keeps it. He holds his cards very close to his chest. So can anybody relate to that? Can anybody relate to, you know the answer, and you just quietly bring people along to the answer, very almost casually? Anybody relate to that one? Think about it. You know the answer, and you let it unfold. It almost sounds a little bit like consulting, doesn't it?
Yeah. But like that's not my style.
Yeah, no, I'd say it's probably tough for a lot of real estate agents, because we tend to, and this is something that we learn through coaching, is how to do better, how to let them uncover, you know, yes, by asking great questions. It's something we're all striving for, but myself included, I think we tend to try and give people the answers all the time when yes, this could be a more effective method. So. Yes.
And it's not that we need to be bumbling. That's not the point here. But notice Columbo never toots his own horn. You know, and he does this sometimes, but not always. A lot of these mystery genres end with the detective doing the big reveal, right? Everybody goes into the parlor. We'll talk more about that when we get to Poirot. Columbo doesn't do that. A lot of times he's alone with the killer at the end and just very gently lets the story unfold. So yeah, good observation, Coach Donna. He lets it unfold. All right. Well, then there's one of my personal favorites, Jessica Fletcher. Jessica was a former English teacher from Cabot Cove, Maine. And if you're a fan of Murder, She Wrote, like I am, you really got to see the evolution of Jessica. She starts out, if you watch the very first pilot, she's kind of a frumpy New England high school teacher, you know, wears lots of sweaters and flat shoes. And by the, gosh, what was it? The 15th season, I forget how many seasons they had of this. She was jet setting, wearing gowns and hobnobbing with MI6 British agents, right? So Jessica evolved. She's one of the detective characters that really evolved. Most of the other ones kind of stayed where they were written, but she evolved. So part of her power is her powers of observation. Jessica watches everything. And that's very similar to Miss Marple. We'll get to her in a minute. But Jessica also is a keen observer of human nature. Jessica watches relationships. She watches how people interact. Let's see, Carmen says, the writer of the serial murder she wrote is a neighbor to a list we currently have. That's so great. I love it. So she pays attention to relationships. She watches people, right? She doesn't just pay attention to clues. She watches people. She watches how they react. She watches how they interact. She pays attention to who's hanging out with who and who knew who and what their history was. And she listens to their stories. Hear that? She listens to their stories, right? And in that way, kind of like Columbo, she's very disarming because Jessica is a wonderful listener, right? So who's a Jessica? Whose superpower is being a really good listener and observer of relationships?
You even cued in the proper music
stuff. I did. That was awesome. Whoever did that.
I would say Donna is a really, really good listener.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm not involved. Because yeah, we work together and spend all the time. But I watch Donna with other people, and she's just masterful at listening and asking a slight question and watching and then knowing what to ask next.
Yes, kind of like being a demand for coaching.
Yes.
Right? Jessica Fletcher. Terry, I think you're a really good listener.
I try to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I've watched you. You're a very good listener. This superpower or this, you know, area of strength for Jessica is Jessica isn't listening to respond. right? So many of us listen to respond. So we're actually thinking about what we're going to say next, right? Jessica doesn't do that. She really listens, and that's why she hears things other people don't hear. She doesn't assume that she has the answers, right? And that's why there's always this cute moment about 10 minutes before every episode where she gets this look on her face and all of a sudden the pieces start falling together for her because she's listened. She pays attention. So her super strength is really listening. And then we have Miss Marple. Miss Marple is, we're a mystery loving family. Miss Marple is my mother's favorite detective. And she said she likes Miss Marple because, like Jessica, but even to a greater degree, Miss Marple doesn't miss a trick. She sees everything that goes on in her little village. She is constantly paying attention. She notices is if a leaf has moved outside of the window that the killer crawled up the trellis to get in the window. Listens to everything that everybody is saying, right? Just toss away comments that everybody else ignores. She hears it. Miss Marple pays attention to every little detail. I actually called my mom and I said, what do you love about Miss Marple? Why do you love her so much? And she said, because Miss Marple doesn't miss a trick. They think she's this doddering old woman and everybody discounts her, and yet she's the sharpest person in the room, because she notices every single detail, and that's how she puts the puzzle together. So any Miss Marples out there, anyone who pays exquisite attention to the details. You make sure every T is crossed and every I is dotted. You can brag on yourselves, it's okay.
No, I'm discovering I'm more Scooby-Doo.
We haven't gotten there yet, okay.
I know.
We're getting there. Yeah, so for Miss Marple, her style of problem solving is to focus on the details, right? She doesn't miss a trick. And then we have Hercule Poirot, right? Hercule Poirot was a world-renowned Belgian private detective. And here's what I found out about him. Unsurpassed in his intelligence and understanding of the criminal mind. Respected and admired by police forces and heads of state across the globe. Famous as much for his magnificent mustaches as his little gray cells. So Poirot's superpower is twofold. He was brilliant, right? He was a very intelligent man, and he used his smarts to figure things out, right? Not like Columbo, by being kind of, you know, bumbling and almost circumspect in his intelligence. Poirot is overtly smart, and people know it, and they respect him for his intelligence, right? The other superpower that he has is his understanding of the criminal mind. Now, so in his case, because he's a detective, it's important that he understand the people that he's dealing with, that he understands his contingency, so to speak, right? He has a great understanding of how criminals work. Specifically, he has a great understanding of how murderers work, how they think, how they process, how they plan, right? So that the translation for us, if we're going to be like Hercule Poirot, is that your superpower, if this is your detective, is that you have a great understanding of how your clients think and how they work. Right? You understand what buyers need. You understand what sellers need. You understand your vendors, right? You understand how everybody in the equation works. You understand what they need, right? You listen to what they want. You help them figure out how to get it. You have a deep understanding of those that you work with. That's Hercule.
That's the one I want to be.
Is that, is that the one you want to be?
Yes.
I think you have a deep understanding of who you work with. I think we can have different areas of expertise. For instance, Mike, you are very aware of how for sale by owners think.
Yeah.
You are very aware of what they're afraid of why they don't want to list with a realtor, of what all their objections are, right? So it doesn't have to mean that you understand how everyone in the equation works, but you have a specific focus that you have deeply studied this subset of clients and customers. And so like Perot, you know how their minds work, right? And that's how you work with them so effectively. Got it?
Yep. Thank you.
Anybody else have an area of where you think there's a subset of our group that you particularly understand? All right, here you go, Mike.
Oh, no. Okay, Scooby.
It's the Scooby Gang. Right? So Mike and I share a love of all things Scooby-Doo. I have received many gifts from Mike over the years that are Scooby-oriented. Including a set of DVDs that all three of our granddaughters love as much as I do. So here's the power of the Scooby-Doo gang. The Scooby-Doo gang works together as a team. They are a team. They solve mysteries as a team, right? They figure things out. They problem solve as a team. They play to each other's strengths. All right, so they have Velma's brains, right? They have Daphne's creativity. Daphne is very creative and innovative. They have Fred's traps, right? In the Scooby-Doo world, Fred is the one who comes up with all the traps that finally captures the monster at the end. And then they have Scooby and Shaggy's talent for being live bait. Right? They're the ones that are always the live bait. So their power of problem solving and their power of mystery solving is working together as a team and honoring each other's strengths and calling upon each other's strengths and complementing each other. They do a lot of brainstorming in Scooby-Doo, right? They do a lot of sharing in Scooby-Doo. Or what clue did you find and what did you see out the window as the scary monster flew by, right? So this is the team approach to problem solving, which is kind of interesting because except for the last one we're going to look at in a minute, most of our detectives, you notice, are kind of lone rangers, right? Mm-hmm. Although Jessica will call upon her friends to help her. This is the only team, big team of problem solvers that we have. So who identifies with Scooby-Doo?
Me, and I'm Shaggy. I just sort of stumble around and things happen and they all make sense at the end.
Yeah. Haley, I belong in the Scooby-Doo game. Yeah, yeah. I love the Scooby-Doo gang, actually. I think one of the reasons that I'm so drawn to this particular series is I do love the ensemble approach, right? I love when we come together as a team or as a group and really work together to figure out the solution. There's a lot of truth to the wisdom is in the room, right? You know, we talk about two heads being better than one. And it's absolutely true. This actually refers back to the four boxes. Remember our four boxes, the conclusion, evidence, how I show up and how others show up around me. You know, we have conclusions that create filters. And so we can only see what our filters let in. Well, if everybody on the team has different conclusions, then they have different filters. And so their brains are letting in very different information than my brain is letting in, isn't it? And those different perspectives and that the different subsets of evidence that our brains are concluding, or conclude base our conclusions on is a much more powerful way to solve problems. And we're actually going to be practicing this even more than usual at this year's summit. We're really going to be relying on the wisdom in the room this year, right? We're going to be solving a bunch of mysteries this year. And we're going to be relying on all of you to use whichever detective style you're most comfortable with and you're most skilled at to help us solve those mysteries. And not just at the mystery dinner, right? But throughout the whole summit, we're going to be relying on you to help us solve the mysteries. All right, and finally, Sherlock and Watson, right? You're going to see a lot of Sherlock and Watson at the summit this year. We've chosen Sherlock as our kind of our summit detective because we can just have so much fun with him. So this is another team, right? Just like the Scooby-Doo team. And they have a very interesting relationship, right? Sherlock and Watson complement each other beautifully because Sherlock is brilliant and quirky, almost to the point of being neurotic, right? And if you're a fan of the Benedict Cumberbatch Sherlock, he really plays to that. In his portrayal of his Sherlock. Brilliant, quirky, interesting habits, likes to dress up and go undercover and use disguises, right? He's almost so brilliant that he's almost otherworldly in his thinking and how he sees things. And then Dr. Watson, his loyal sidekick, is almost the exact opposite of that. Equally as intelligent, and Watson is a very intelligent man. He's a medical doctor, he's a writer, he's the one who documents all of Sherlock's escapades, but he's intelligent in a very practical way. Watson has a lot of common sense. He has as much common sense as Sherlock doesn't, right? Sherlock would forget to eat if it wasn't for his housekeeper and his faithful sidekick, Watson, right? So this is a team of two that greatly complements each other's strengths and weaknesses, right? Sherlock thinks out of the box. Watson is very practical, right? Sherlock's intelligence is almost otherworldly. Watson's intelligence is based on common sense, right? We might say that to refer to the playing field, that Watson is very comfortable in physical reality. Sherlock is really comfortable in visionary or metaphysical reality. Sherlock would constantly live in his head if he could, right? Whereas Watson is very present in the earth. So they complement each other beautifully. So think of a team that you've been on where you have that complement, right? Because notice that they need each other. Right? For this team to be successful, they need each other. Sherlock needs to be grounded by Watson, and Watson needs Sherlock's ability to think outside the box, right? And to not sometimes be quite so practical, right? They need each other. The other great thing about Sherlock and Watson is that they use, even more than some of the other detectives, they use deductive reasoning. Right. And I think we've all heard that quote, once you eliminate the impossible, whatever remains, no matter how improbable, must be the truth. Right? We can use that in every walk of life when we are problem solving, when we are trying to figure something out. Once you eliminate the impossible, whatever remains, no matter how improbable, must be the truth. This is really speaks to us being willing to dismantle our structures of knowing, being willing to let go of what we think is impossible, right? That's the brilliance of Sherlock. And we're going to be working with that at the summit. That's his brilliance, that we look at something and go, well, that couldn't possibly be true, or that couldn't possibly be the answer. And yet Sherlock invites us into this place of, well, once you've eliminated everything else, no matter how improbable what's left, that must be it. That must be the answer, even if we can't see how it's the answer, right? It's we're being asked to step out of our current structure of knowing, to see things differently. That's the power of Sherlock. Can anyone relate to Sherlock? Especially the neurotic part, right? He does get a little wacky sometimes. Okay, so I want everybody on the call to take a minute. You can just type this into chat. Just take a minute and type into chat which one you are, right? Which one do you identify with the most, right? Intelligence and that mustache. Yeah, Josh.
Coach Steph, do you have a slide that have all of them on it for us to look at together or not?
You know, I don't, but let me go back to the beginning.
Thank you.
And I'll go through them real quick, okay? Okay, yeah. So we got Columbo, bumbling on the outside, brilliant on the inside, right? We work with him to solve the mystery, all right? Then we have Jessica Fletcher, former English teacher. Everything in her mind contributes to the plot. She pays attention. She calls upon her friends. She doesn't. She pays attention to what people say. She listens without needing to respond. Miss Marple doesn't miss a trick. She's the one that pays attention to details. Okay, good. I see these coming in. Poirot, brilliant, great mustache, snappy dresser. Understands the criminal minds, understands his constituency, right? So he really understands the people that he's working with. And then there's Scooby-Doo. That's the great team. Right? This is the team approach to problem solving and figuring things out and honoring everyone's contribution. Fletcher Marple. I think you combined two there. All right. And then we have Sherlock and Watson. Brilliance and common sense coming together in a very powerful team. I like to think I'm part of the Scooby-Doo team. I really think of us at Your Coaching Matters as part of the Scooby-Doo team. I just have to say that, right? Scooby-Doo gang with a bit of Sherlock and Watson. Brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah, we can be, I like those of you who are combining, we can be a little bit of everything.
Combination of both.
I think I'm looking for the one that is really good at developing relationship with the people, and I'm trying to figure out which one that might be.
I think that would actually be a combination of Jessica Fletcher and, believe it or not, Columbo.
Yeah, well, maybe I'm a little Fletcher
Clarice
Columbo.
Starling from Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, no, Mike, no. I deliberately did not bring
we're not doing
gruesome
that.
Into this call, okay? No gruesome on this call. So, yeah, because one of the things Columbo does, if you've noticed, by the end of every Columbo, he's actually befriended the killer. Like, he's gotten the killer to think that they're buddies, right?
He's just and that's kind of... Yeah. I think Sherlock does this too, but it's really interesting because he's so standoffish and yet he has such a huge following, you know? It's like he's created this this people want to be around him and know him even as much as he doesn't want them around him. You know?
Sherlock is very charismatic.
Yeah.
He's very charismatic. Yeah. All of the Sherlocks. Every incarnation of Sherlock has been very, and it's almost like that thing of the more standoffish he is, the more people want to be around him, right?
Yeah.
And I think the other thing about all of these detectives, I think what's appealing about all of them is we are attracted to people who are good at what they do. Mm. And every one of these detectives is really good at what they do. They all do it differently, right? This is not about being the same. But each one of these detectives has found their strength, right? They've found their secret power, how they best work and who they best work with. And they are really good at what they do. And I think that's a big takeaway from this, right? This is why these particular detectives have such a huge following and have, I mean, Miss Sherlock Holmes and Miss Marple and Poirot, I mean, they've been out for decades, right? And yet we still read them. And we still learn from them, and they still surprise us, you know, with their mysteries. So So I think that there's different ways to figure things out. There's different ways to problem solve. It's us finding the style that we're best suited for and then really committing to doing it really well, whichever approach that we take. And they still reboot them multiple times. That's right, Josh. They just keep rebooting these things, which speaks, their longevity speaks to how appealing they are, right? They're so appealing. All right, so any questions about that? So did that get you a little bit of excited and curious for the summit? Everybody say yes.
Yes.
Because we're super excited for it. We, we're going to have an absolute great time. We're going to solve all sorts of mysteries together. All right, everybody. I'm sorry I went a minute over. Have a wonderful Monday, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.